It's going to be a phenomenal service. So I want to pray. Lord, I thank you that you are the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Your power has not diminished. Lord, your blood is still as powerful as it was the day you shed it at Calvary, oh God. And today, right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we take authority over every power of the enemy in the name of Jesus. And we say you have to submit to the name and the authority of Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that you will remove every barrier to prophetic revelation. We pray, oh God, that you will remove the fear of leaving the old and moving into the new. I pray, oh God, that you will elevate your voice above the noise, and that the strength of the Lord shall be upon this meeting, and that you will give us grace, Lord, today to make some very strong decisions in our lives, Lord, so that we can be a people that will glorify your name. In Jesus, we ask all this, and everybody said, amen. You know, this week the government released some census, and Singapore and Christianity has dropped about 2 percentage points over the last 5 years. This is quite harrowing, thinking of all the mega churches we have in Singapore, thinking of all the fancy programs we have, and we're still seeing a decrease in the number of Christians. And there could be a reason for that. And one of the reasons is I think there's too much worldliness in the church. I want to address that this morning. Today, I want to talk about the evil eye. And my text, if you have a Bible, is in the Gospel of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And when you get there, let's look at verses 22 and 23. And Jesus said, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. Watch this, please. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. And therefore, the light that is in you of darkness, how great is that darkness? Over the past few weeks, several people have come up to the altar to be prayed for. And when I ask the question, how can I pray for you? Do you know what the number one issue is? It is their eyes. It is their eyes. Whether it's blurred vision or cataracts or double vision. And I pray in the name of Jesus that God will heal every eye today. Amen. But not just your physical eyes. Because I think that this could be a symptomatic of a spiritual problem more than a physical problem. There are certain sins in the Bible that are connected with the state of our physical eyes. And when they're dealt with, when they're repented of, I think that healing can come pretty quickly. Here's an example. The eye that mocks his father and scorns obedience to his mother, the ravens of the valley will pluck it out. Proverbs 30 and verse 7, pretty graphic language. But this is symbolism. It could well be that people with eye problems have unforgiveness towards their parents. And by repenting and getting that sorted out is often the solution to their problems. Now, what Jesus is saying in these verses is if your eye will determine how much light you have in your body. And this light, by the way, is visible in the spiritual dimension, both to the angelic and to the demonic as well. They know and they can see the light that is in you and can discern the level of authority that you carry. That's why the demons could say to the seven sons of Sceva, Paul we know, Jesus we know, but who in the world are you? They could see that they had no light in them. And all of that, ladies and gentlemen, depends on how or whether or not we have a good eye or an evil eye. Now, every church is a lampstand or has a lampstand. And the light of our lampstand here in Cornerstone is the sum total of the light that we carry as individuals. The more light in every one of us, the greater we manifest the witness and the light. Now, Jesus is when he was in the world, he said, I am the light of the world. But when he resurrected and went to be with the Father, he turns to us and says, now you are the light of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we are a city set on a hill and we cannot be hidden. And when God looks at the church, trust me, he is not interested to know how many people we boast in having. He wants to know how many burning lamps there are in this house. He wants to know how many of us are on fire for him. You know, the Bible is not the light of the world. The Bible is the light of the church. The world don't read the Bible. The world reads Christians.
The world formed their opinions of Christ by looking at how we live, how we behave. Someone said, preach the gospel at all times. When necessary, use words. Our lives are constantly witnessing, whether you like it or not. We are constantly preaching. Jesus said, we are the city set on a hill. Amen. So let your light shine. Let your light shine. We are supposed to be the nicest, the kindest, the gentlest people on this planet. Hallelujah. You know, someone said the only two reasons why people do not believe in Jesus. Number one, they've never met a Christian. And number two, they have met a Christian. So make sure your light is shining brightly. Your life is an epistle. Someone is reading it every day, I can tell you this. You know, in the olden times when the power got off, I remember this many times, we used to light candles. And do you remember how we used to cup our hands over the flame to protect the fire from going out? Why? Because the candle is the only thing that allows us to see. So how do we ensure that our bodies are full of light? By the state of our eyes, ladies and gentlemen. By the state of our eyes. Is your eye healthy or is your eye evil? The degree of light we carry will depend on how our eyes are, the condition. And this is what I want to talk about today. Now, I want to say that all languages have idioms. An idiom is a figure of speech. We say things like, it's raining cats and dogs. We say things like, don't beat around the bush. These are all English idioms. But the Hebrew language has idioms as well. And Jesus used some of them in his preaching. For instance, having a good eye, having a bad eye, is a first century euphemism. The Greek word that the translators use for the word good is not the right normal word that is used in the Bible. Jesus didn't use the word kalos or agathos, which is the common word for good. He used the word haplos, and the word means single or healthy or sound. In other words, Jesus said, he who has a sound eye. If your eye is sound, if your eye is healthy, if your eye is generous. And Jesus was using a euphemism to describe a person's attitude towards others. A healthy eye simply means that a person is generous and everything flows out. You look at people and all you're thinking is, how can I help a person? Because that's how you're wired. Your eye is healthy and it is generous. But a person with a bad eye is someone who's stingy and miserly, and everything flows out of that, the way they see life. And depending on the kind of life you have will result in how much life and light that you carry. That is the baseline of Christianity. I tell you, for the Jew, seeing goes beyond just sight. It is what you do with what you see. It's responding to the needs of others. A person with a good eye sees the needs of others, but he doesn't stop there. He goes out and he does something about it. Proverbs 22 and verse 9 says, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. Why? Because he gives his bread to the poor. Hallelujah. And this generosity must be the default behavior of all of us here in Cornerstone. Amen. Amen. That's how we overcome covetousness. I've said this before. I'll say it again. When God starts blessing you, don't just raise your standard of living. Raise your standard of giving. Hallelujah. Now, the guy with an evil eye is someone who's stingy and miserly. The Jews have no words to describe stingy, so they use the phrase tight-fisted. Tight-fisted. They don't have a word for stubborn, so they use the word stiff-necked. So the Hebrew language is very pictorial. An obnoxious person is someone who gives out a bad smell. But an evil eye is to be miserly, to be harmful, to be lewd, to be malicious. It's not just being stingy with money. When your eye is evil, it affects everything in your life. It affects the way you view people. It affects the way you see people negatively, always with suspicion. And you can never, never see good in people because your eye is evil. And you're quick to judge. A person with an evil eye is always quick to judge. And many of us have very serious biases that needs to be corrected. Amen. Hallelujah. The man with the miserly attitude is going to see everything from a very negative perspective. You can have two marriages, same income, same neighborhood, same number of children. One does well, one doesn't. Why? Is it because of circumstances? No, sir. It is because the way they view circumstances. It's how they perceive things. But a man who is generous will manifest that generosity wherever he goes. Amen. It's the way You treat the lady who cleans your room in the hotel. I said this, I'll say it again. I travel with a lot of red packets just to make sure that I leave something behind. Write a simple note. I leave a basket of fruits, something just to say, thank you so much for cleaning my room every day. And I just want to say that you matter and that Jesus loves you. And I sign off and I give them something. I want them to know that they are appreciated. It's the way you treat the guy that carries your bag. I always tip the Grab driver, delivery guy, whoever comes, I tip them. And if I'm not at home, I will send the tip to them. I tip the taxi driver. Always keep the change. It's okay. I try my best always to treat and with kindness and with gentleness every waitress, even if they make the mistake, the wrong order comes. It doesn't matter. I don't sweat it. It's okay. Always be gentle. Always be kind. It's about having a good eye. It's about the generosity in which we treat our fellow human beings, my friends. And I say this, always have cash with you. A lot of people say, Pastor, I don't carry cash anymore. We're living in a cashless society. And that's why you're not generous. I can tell a person whether he's generous or not by the way they live. I carry cash, and the reason is because you're always going to be able to bless somebody. Come on. You got to have a different way of thinking, my friends. You got to learn how to be kind to people. Singaporeans are some of the most entitled people on this planet. I think that Singaporeans can be very mean sometimes. And generally, we're not polite. You know, you turn your car sometimes and you have a little, you know, the pedestrian thing. And I'm telling you, there's nobody, no Singaporean ever turns and says, thank you for waiting for me to walk first. Hallelujah. Yeah. It would just walk, and as though it's our entitlement. And I know this many times, and I think to myself, you know, I travel. We go to, in Swansea, when sometimes we walk along the beach. You know, not London, right? London, everybody will rob you. This is Swansea. Everybody stops to say, hello, how are you? How are you today? I'm telling you, it's the culture. And we ought to be the nicest people on this planet. Come on. Amen. Carry cash. Carry cash. I'm telling you this. Make sure there's cash with you so that you can be a blessing. The lady that cleans your room don't have a QR code, my friends. Let's talk about the evil eye. Proverbs 28 and verse 22 says, a man with the evil eye hastens after riches and does not consider that poverty will come upon him. In Mark chapter 7, the Lord was exposing the wickedness of man's heart. One of the 13 things, the 13 evils that he mentioned is the evil eye. It's more than just miserliness. It's a destructive force that can release a curse on others. A man with an evil eye is greedy. He's never satisfied with what he has. And when you have an evil eye, it affects every part of your life. How is it, ladies and gentlemen, after being saved and washed by the blood, that his divine nature is still not yet worked in many of us as Christians? You know, a miserly Christian is an oxymoron. Come on. The Jews believe in something called the evil eye, and it's not superstition, it's not New Age, by the way. And they've tried to protect themselves from this so-called evil eye for thousands of years. And one of the ways that they do this is they don't flaunt their wealth. They don't boast of their successes, and they don't post their wins or their wealth on social media and tell the world how well they're doing. Listen, if people come to know how well you're doing, sometimes, oftentimes, unconsciously, they wish for your downfall. It's an evil eye in people that causes them to do this. It's called jealousy. It's called envy. And envy is a very destructive emotion. Because of envy, they crucified Jesus. It is a terrible emotion that emits a certain negative frequency that affects outcomes. And that's why the scriptures encourages us not to brag. So, ladies and gentlemen, can I ask you, stop posting pictures of yourself in business class cabins. We don't need to know that. If you have the privilege, you enjoy it. But you don't have to brag to the whole world about it. I just can't stand it. Stop posting of yourself. Ooh, I'm in a first class suite. Enjoy that if you have the privilege. Don't boast. Don't boast of the expensive house you just bought, of the expensive watch. I better put my hands in my pocket. We all have a tendency to boast and want to show about successes. But here's a piece of advice. Stay low, stay hidden, stay humble. The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 2, let another man praise you. Not from your own mouth, a stranger, not from your own lips. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, light has a frequency. Sound has a frequency. It's basic science, but so does your life. So does your life. Your life emits a frequency, whether you realize it or not. You hit a middle C on a piano, it doesn't ask permission to resonate. It simply fills the whole room. You turn on the light, it shifts the atmosphere. Darkness has to leave. In the same way, your life is constantly sending out a signal. I tell you this, when you walk into a room, your light ought to be shining the brightest. Hallelujah. And I've seen it over and over again. Sometimes people boast of their successes prematurely. They flaunt their wealth. And the next thing they know, things starts happening in their lives. Deals starts falling through. Relationships starts collapsing. And this is unexplained bad luck. Why? Because jealousy and envy emits a certain energy that is destructive. The Bible says pride comes before destruction. Listen, I have learned when God blesses me, I want to be a conduit of that blessing, but I don't have to flaunt it and I don't have to brag about it. If you're not humble, Mike Tyson says, life will visit humbleness upon you. That's the man who knew what it was like to be at the top and now at the bottom. Humility is the best prevention for humiliation. Amen. And that's why really successful people in life are very private. Because they understand how envy, how jealousy works. I know what I'm talking about. Sometimes when I'm with certain groups of people and I say something that, you know, has to do with my success and certain things in some areas, all of a sudden you can feel the negativity in that room immediately. And I said to myself, oops, I shouldn't have said that. You have to be very careful what you say to people. Proverbs 19, 12 and verse 9, it's really interesting in the New Living Translation. It says, better is a nobody and yet have a servant than to pretend to be somebody and have no food. Ouch, hallelujah. I want to just talk a few moments because this is the crux of my message and it's directed to many of the men here in this house. After yesterday, Pastor Caleb said to me, Pastor Young, so many men came up to him. I said, we got problems with our eyes. Yep, for sure. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 27 and verse 29. You have heard it was said of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. Cast it from you, for it's more profitable for you than one of your members perish than for your whole body to be cast into hell. My goodness, do you know what the Lord is saying? He said your eye, if you don't deal with it, can lead you to hell. The whole context in Matthew 5, 27 to 30 is the sin of adultery. And all that one has to commit adultery is to look at a woman, to lust after her. So Jesus puts the lust in the eyes. So does Peter. It says in 2 Peter 4, 2 and verse 14, having eyes full of adultery. Impurity doesn't start in the heart, my friends. It starts in the eyes. Jesus said, whoever looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery. Lust is not the second look. It's the first long look. It's the look with desire, evil desire. And looking is what stirs up the lust. And that's why watching porn is prohibited. Because all it does is stir up lust. Train yourself, ladies and gentlemen, not to look. Turn your eyes away from evil. When you're driving, look straight. Look straight. Amen. Job said, I made a covenant with my eyes that why should I look upon a young woman? And the men in the church today, I'm asking you, join with me to make this covenant today with the Lord, that we make a covenant with our eyes that we will not look upon a woman to lust after her. Amen. Do you know that the strongest man in the Bible and the wisest man in the Bible were both taken down by the same thing, lust?
Samson could tear a lion with his bare hands. But his strength could not protect him. Solomon could write a manual on how to live life, and his wisdom could not protect him. Married 700 wives, and they turned his heart away from God, who gave him everything. So strength couldn't protect Samson. Wisdom, because it was not applied, couldn't protect Solomon. What makes you think you're the exception, my friends? That's not for me. That's not me trying to scare you. That's me trying to say to you, wake up! Because lust doesn't just kill weak men. It kills strong men who think that they couldn't fall. Look at the number of speakers, of famous preachers. And all of that begins with the exposure of our eyes to evil. Now, I want to talk about this today. Please allow me, because I feel the Holy Spirit is going to hover over this place, and there's going to be great conviction. And some of you are going to feel this terrible conviction, and you're going to resist the Holy Spirit, and it's going to cost you. I read a testimony of a father who walked by chance into his son's room, and he saw his boy talking to an invisible person, looking in up and talking. And the father, of course, was very concerned. He thought that his son was hallucinating. He said, "Son, who are you talking to?" The son says, "Don't you see him, Dad? I'm talking to an angel." The dad says, "No, I can't see him." And the dad thought he was hallucinating. Well, the next day, the same thing happens. He walks in his son's room, and the son is talking. And now he's really concerned. So he asked the son the question. He said, "Can you tell the angel, ask him this question. Can you ask him why you can see him and why I can't see him?" So the son says to the angel, "Why can I see you and why can't my dad see you?" And the angel said, "Tell your dad this." And this is what the boy turns. He says to his dad, "Dad," the angel said, "your eyes have been exposed to too much evil." We all want to see, right? This is the blessing of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That your young men shall see visions, we shall see visions. Our old men shall dream dreams, we shall all prophesy. That is the birthright of Pentecostal Christians. And yet we don't live this life. Why? I tell you why. Because our eyes are seeing too much evil. That's why we can't see. My spiritual father, Brother Bailey, was a man who lived with his eyes wide open. He had many visions of heaven and hell, of angels, principalities, of Jesus, of the Father. I mean, I'm telling you this. I don't know of a godlier man than my spiritual father, Brother Bailey. And I've never seen him watch one time television. Only once we were sitting in a restaurant, he looked up and there was a football game going on. His eyes were pure. He was a godly man. And I want to be like that. I want to be like that. R. Roberts made a statement one time. He said, "If you can see the invisible, you can have the impossible." I tell you this, we're not seeing the signs and the miracles and the wonders because maybe we're not paying the price. And I believe that this is what the Holy Spirit wants us to do. Elijah said to Elisha, "If you can see me taken, what I have, you will have double." I'm going to be very vulnerable to you today because that's the only way that I feel that this message can be effective. So I want you to bear with me because I know the plight of many of you, especially the men in this house. During the church camp in the afternoon, I was resting in my room and I decided I was going to listen to a message. I was kind of like on social media. There's this man preaching the word. He was talking about how they were in an impossible situation. And he had a prayer partner. He said, "Look, if we don't pray about this, we're going to be in big trouble. But if we are unclean, there's no point praying about this because God's not going to hear our prayer anyway. So the important thing is we have to get clean because we're going to be clean vessels." So he said, "You go to this corner, I'll go to that corner, and we will confess our sins. And when we feel we are right with God, we come back, we pray, and God will do a miracle." Well, he goes to his corner and this man says, "I prayed and oh my goodness," he said, "out of my innermost beings came things." 2 hours they were on their knees crying out to God for forgiveness. 2 hours. And finally, the preacher said to this man, he said, "Are you clean?" He said, "The best of my ability, yes, sir." He said, "I'm clean now too as well." They came together and prayed. Within 2 hours, an amazing miracle took place. I mean, an amazing miracle. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to just stand here and say, if you're not clean, God will not hear your prayer. It doesn't work that way. I know it works. That's how it works in the kingdom. The Bible says that he will not hear, when sin will prevent him from hearing our prayer. So I'm hearing that message, and I'm so convicted in my spirit. I went down on my knees and I cried out to God. I said, God, clean me, please. I want to be a clean man. I want you to clean my heart. I want every aspect of my life to be clean, Lord. What I watch, what I hear, I want to be clean, 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 Lord. Not one of us live in a monastery. We don't live a monastic life. We're exposed to things every day. And I'm telling you, there's so many things that come into our lives that are just unclean, unclean, unclean. So I'm there on my knees and I'm crying out, make me clean, make me clean, make me clean. I get up, I go to the table, the phone rings, it's my wife. I said, we talk for a few moments. And then suddenly I said, oh my goodness, I got to put down the phone. I ran to the bathroom and I threw out, I don't know what I threw out. It wasn't lunch. It wasn't lunch. All kinds of things came out. And it came out because of my cry to God. Lord, I want to be purged from everything in me that is not pleasing before you. And oh my goodness, the deliverance was almost immediate. Deliverance. And I felt so happy. I felt the joy of the Lord. I'm telling you this, ladies and gentlemen, we all need to go through deliverance. Madeline is here today. She leads Sozo in Asia. Go to her, praise the Lord. She will examine you. 2 days ago, 3 days ago, I was lying on my bed and about 6 o'clock in the morning. And you know, I get dreams every night, three dreams, four dreams. But the waking dreams are the most important. The dreams that you get just before you come out of your sleep into consciousness, that those dreams are the most important dreams, because God often speaks to me through my waking dreams. So it's about six, I'm about to wake up, and just before I wake up, I hear my wife, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, it is so uncanny. I hear my wife breathing, all right? like Darth Vader, right? No, I'm serious. She's breathing. I'm hearing her breathing, and when she stops breathing, I hear another set of sound just beside me. So I'm hearing one set of breathing, and I said, who's that breathing? And I turn around, and there was this demon lying on the floor in my bedroom. Terrible looking demon, grabbed a hold of my hands. I screamed. I tried to wake my wife up, and she was in a total sleep mode, right? And I was trying to wake her up, and I was panicking. I didn't know what to do, and the demon was, I never felt so much fear. And suddenly, I jerk out of that waking dream, and I'm exactly at the same place in the dream. I told my wife what happened. She prayed for me. I went to the chair. I was trembling. 15 minutes later, I'm still shaking. It was horrific. It was horrific. And I thought to myself, Lord, how in the world could a demon come into my room to harass me? And I'm thinking. And then I remember I saw something. I was watching something. And it wasn't anything evil or bad, but it was evil. In the spirit, it was evil. There were these, there was a bit of a fantasy thing, and there was these curses. And it was, so there was a bit of that witchcraft. And it opened something in my spirit. And these demons could come. I want to tell you this, guys, we are watching too many things that we shouldn't be watching. You got to stop this. And some of you have to make the very painful decision today, right here, right now. Cancel your subscription to Netflix. You know, the Bible says, whatever things be pure, whatever things be righteous, whatever things be holy, right? Remember, whatever things be of good report. There are 8 gates to our eyes. You got to test these things as they go through. And I can tell you this, Netflix fails all 8. They fail all 8 gates. And you got to be careful. Some of you have to cancel some of your subscriptions. You got to say enough. You say, Pastor, I'm okay. I can watch this. I can handle this. That's why you're going to stay at this level for the rest of your life till the day you are buried in the grave. You're never going to progress with God on earth. And I don't know. I just want to say this with all my heart. What do you want in life, my friends? Jesus said, to the church in Laodicea. And I think that the church in Singapore is exactly like the church in Laodicea. We have need of nothing. We are rich. We have everything. And we don't need God. You know, we are, and the Lord says, you're blind, you're pitiable, and you're naked. And this is what he counseled us. He said, counsel you to buy I saw from me so that you can see. I am telling you, the church in Singapore is blind. We think that we are rich, and you know, we think that we have it all. I can tell you this, when I travel in the world, the church in Singapore is so way behind what God is doing in the rest of the world. We need to repent and ask God for forgiveness for our pride in this nation. We do need to do that. I know this, my friends. This is something that needs to be done. And there's so much uncleanness in the body of Christ in Singapore. So much uncleanness, so much sin, so much worldliness in the church of Jesus Christ in this nation, because we expose ourselves to so many things and then we give the excuse, you know, I'm a mature Christian. They always say that, I'm a mature Christian, I can handle this. No wonder their spiritual lives are so dead and dry and they have not a single power. You know, they can't even lay hands on a sick person and see them get healed. And so we need to change, my friends. I'm asking you to be very real and to be very honest with yourself today. I cried out to God. I said, God, I want to change, Lord. Don't, you know, some people, have you ever watched some people? You know, it's like, if in your life, if nobody is talking to you about your problems, nobody's talking to you about things that needs to be changed. You know why? They've given up hope that you will even want to change or grow. They know that if they try to talk to you, you're going to say, I don't come and talk to me. You know, I know everything. And there are many people like that in the church today. You try and talk to them. They won't listen anymore. And I want to just say, please have the humility to humble yourself and say, Lord, if there's something in me that you don't like, please show me. Boy, he's going to have a long time talking to you. He's going to show you things if you are really sincere and honest. If I say to you, do you all believe that God loves you? Everyone is in the room will say, of course we believe God loves you. If I say, do you believe that God is pleased with you? Now that we don't know, because that has to do with behavior. And I want to just say, do you know that God is pleased with you? Can he say to you, you are my beloved son in whom I am well pleased, amen. I want you to stand up on your feet today. I feel the Spirit of God moving in this room. I feel the Holy Ghost stirring in our hearts. I cried out to God for deliverance and God set me free. Are there other things? I don't know, but I'm doing this. I want God to do this every day. Every day I'm saying, God, make me clean, and there's something in my life that needs to be repented of. Show me, Lord. I want to be clean. I want to be clean. And I'm telling you this, there's this purging that's happening in my life. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. I welcome it. Amen. I welcome it. I want God to clean out everything in me. I was reading the book of Job, the 42nd chapter this morning. Job is the righteous, most righteous man on this planet. And he was one of three singled out by God himself as the three most righteous men in the entire history of our humanity. Job, Noah, and Daniel. The three most righteous men who ever lived. And when God appeared before Job in the 42nd chapter of the book of Job, you know what he said? He said, I hate myself, Lord. I hate myself. I abhor myself. I hate myself. I'm such a sinner. I'm such a sinner. The most righteous man on the earth. And I want to just ask you today, is there sin in your life? Don't you think 25 years ago I raised my hands, gave my life to Jesus, that's going to save me? No, sir. No, sir. You heard the wrong gospel. You heard the wrong gospel. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, my friends. When John Calvin came up with this idea of once saved, always saved, he predicated on it on one fact. The fact that every day we have a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is the key in life. Every day walking with Jesus. And you can be assured that if you are doing that on a daily basis, that you are in Christ. But if you do not have that vibrant relationship with him on a daily basis, and you're walking in darkness and sin, I can tell you this, be careful. Be careful. So my friends, I'm asking you today, especially the men, maybe some of you here would have to make the hard decision to cancel certain things in your life. Clean up your phone, man. Clean up your phone. Look at all the apps and say, God, which apps do you want me not to have? Pray about these things. God will make it clear to you. You want to buy something? Ask the Lord. The Lord will make it clear. I can tell you this. That's how He guides me. Everything. Lord, can I buy this? Should I do this? He wants to talk to you. He wants to direct your steps. Can I have this app in my phone? Ask Him. Ask Him. And He will show you. Be led by the Spirit. Amen. Be led by the Spirit. We're standing in the presence of Almighty God. I've tried to be vulnerable to you as best as I can. And I just want to say that I this is the only way I know how to say to the men in this church, we need to be cleaned up in our own personal lives. A lot of things that are filthy and unclean, and the Lord tolerated it for a long time. He says, enough is enough. He says, I'm going to clean. If you don't let me clean you up, then it's like I'm not going to speak to you anymore. I'm not going to speak to you anymore. Some of you have not heard God's voice for a long time. You've not heard that beautiful, still, small voice speaking to you. It's like the Lord says, why should I speak to you? You're not going to listen to me. You've chosen to go your own way. But if you say, Pastor, I want to get right with God. I want to get clean with God. Oh, I want to get clean with God. I don't want my name blotted out from the Lamb's Book of Life. I want to walk holy with Him. Every eye closed, every head bowed. I want to be clean, Pastor. I want to be clean. That was my prayer. That has been my prayer every day. Lord, I want to be clean, Lord. Clean, clean. I want Him to pronounce over my life. Clean, hallelujah. Clean, hallelujah. Oh, the pure in heart shall see God, my friends. The pure in heart shall see God. If you say, Pastor, could you pray for me? I want to be clean. Would you raise your hands right now? Everybody in this place. Every service, we had a massive altar call. And I want to encourage you, if your hands are raised, just get off your seats and come stand in the front. Don't worry about who's looking. Nobody bothers about that, right? You come because you want to be free. You want to tell Jesus, Lord, I want to move on with you. Just come and stand here, right here. In the name of Jesus, I want to ask you to come. You just come. There's going to be a washing today of blood. The blood of Jesus is going to wash all over you. Just come, my friends. Hallelujah. We saw quite a few deliverances in the mornings. Hallelujah. Demons were coming out of people. And I believe in this day and today we're going to see God move and the power of Jesus Christ manifested. Hallelujah. Come. Don't you worry about who's looking. Nobody's bothered about that. You just come. You and Jesus. You meet Him at the altar. Hallelujah. He promised that He will pour out water on him who is thirsty. Floods and dry ground. He will pour out His blessing on our descendants and our children's children. Hallelujah. Close your eyes right now in the presence of God. I want you to just allow the Holy Spirit to move in your hearts. Many years ago, I was in a meeting where Derek Prince was speaking. I was his worship leader. And he was speaking over the congregation and commanding the demons. I never saw so many demons leave people. It was like 50 people on the ground screaming at one time. It was the power of God. And all he said was this. He said, expel in the name of Jesus. And he commanded them to breathe out, expel in the name of Jesus. Now, I know it sounds simplistic, but I'm telling you, the very act of obedience itself will release something over you. So in the name of Jesus, I'm going to be praying right now. And I'm going to ask, and I'm going to speak the word expel. And I want you just to cry out to God and say, God, every spirit that is not of the Spirit of Christ, leave my body in Jesus' name. Amen. And I'm not talking about demon possession, but I'm talking about the demons harassing you in areas of your life, causing a choke point so that the life of God is not flowing in you. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to breathe in, right? Just be relaxed. And I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus. And we're going to command every power of the enemy to submit to the name of Jesus. And I'm telling you this, we are going to see God move in this place. It's going to be like a wave of the Holy Spirit moving. And the Lord, if you are sincere, the Lord will meet you at your point of sincerity. Oh, Rabba Shanna, just cry and lift up your eyes. Lift up your eyes to God. Hallelujah. Look to Him. He is the deliverer. Hallelujah. He is the one that sets us free. He is the one that delivers us from the pit of hell. Hallelujah. So Lord Jesus, I thank you for this people today. And I thank you that they are sincere. They have come up and they want to be free, Lord. And they want to be clean, Lord. And I pray that this decision will be a long-lasting decision. It will be something they will never turn back from, Lord. And this will be the lowest that they will ever be. And I thank you, God, that they are going to move on from glory to glory after this service in the name of Jesus. And right now, Lord, I come against every demonic stronghold in their life, and I command every demonic stronghold to be broken. And in the name of Jesus, you be set free right now in the name of Jesus. Be free, be free, be free in the name of Jesus. I speak the blood of Jesus Christ over this place right now. The blood, the blood, the blood. Come on, people, raise your hands. Ask the Holy Ghost, set me free, Lord. I want to be clean. I want to be clean in the name of Jesus. Oh, Rabba Shanda Rabba. In the name of Jesus, Rabba. I want the pastors and the deacons, go around quickly, healing teams. Pray for people right now. Hallelujah. Come on, just 2 more minutes. Come on, pray. Hallelujah. Jesus, set people free. Set people free. Set people free. Pastor Tim. Pastor Tim. Shukara Baba. I'll just say a few words. I'm going to just ask Pastor Tim to pray over this congregation. You know, Pastor Tim has been involved in many, many deliverances. And God has given him a level of authority. So I want you just to quieten your hearts as we look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to ask him to pray and to see the power of the enemy broken over this place.
Hallelujah. Let's lay a hold of God's promise. The anointing is in his house. I'm just going to declare Isaiah 61, where Jesus himself in Luke 4 makes that declaration. When I begin to make that declaration, just believe God that the Spirit of the Lord is upon His house, upon His church, upon His body. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Let's give to Jesus a round of applause. We are going to declare today that God is going to open blind eyes. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, we pray, Lord God, and even right now, Lord God, we are praying that God, you will open up the eyes, Lord God, even right now, that Lord, there will be an anointing, that Lord, even in Revelation chapter 3, he says that God, the eyes self, Lord God, you anoint and each and every of our eyes, Lord God, to begin to see, Lord God. We break, Lord God, every spiritual blindness, Lord, in the name of Jesus. We break, Lord God, every deception, Lord God, every distraction, Lord God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, there is a spirit of burning and of purging, Lord, over your bride even right now, because you are so jealous for her. And people of God, I just want you to draw near to God. You know, even Pastor was so vulnerable even to us. You know, the closer and the nearer we draw near to him, the more we begin to see his holiness, the more we begin to see his purity, and allow the fire of his purity to begin to purge us, because he wants to come even to visit his church, because that's what we are praying for. We want to ask for revival in this land. We want his spirit to fill us. And his spirit is holy. And right now, let there be a holy fire that is burning within to purge out everything that is impure, to do a deliverance even in this house. Then the house begin in each one of us. Let that burning begin to happen. Father, in the name of Jesus this day, Lord God. Oh, Lord, we thank you, Lord. This is David prayer. Search me, O Lord, for you know our hearts, Lord God. Oh, Lord, that God, you know our wicked ways, Lord. Do a cleansing, Lord God, even right now in the name of Jesus. Shiri arabalala masuro doborobalalabai. Kori arabalala.
Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we humble ourselves before you today. Lord, I know that that's the start point of all our walk with you, that humility, Lord. We recognize that there are things in our lives that are just not pleasing before you. We've allowed them to come into our lives callously. Men, I want to just say this. Unless you remove certain apps from your phones, you're going to go back to them over and over again. You must, can't cut it off once and for all. The only way to deal with a snake is to cut the snake at its head. You got to deal with, maybe some of you have to go back and start deleting some apps from your phone. I tell you this, the moment you do that, God is going to give you a degree of freedom in your life straight away. The moment you cut them, the power of the app over you is broken and God sets you free. So some of you will have to do that. Some of you will have to cancel your subscriptions to the live things like Netflix, and you say, God, what do you want in life? What do you want in life, my friends? What do you want in life? What do you want in life? What do you want in life? That's the question that we need to answer. So I'm going to pray. We're going to continue praying for people at the altar. The teams are here. The pastors, the deacons, the prayer teams. We're going to pray and minister to people. But we're going to dismiss the rest of you so that you can go back and get and collect your children and things like that. So Lord, bless this house with every spiritual blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. And the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance on you and grant you his peace. And so may God put his name upon you forevermore. And the blessing of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and abide with you now and forevermore. And everybody say, Amen. Let's give God a big praise. Amen.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.